You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Miles to Go podcast. This is your host, Ed Pizza. If you're enjoying listening to the podcast, I hope you'll take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, and also to rate the podcast. That helps us attract more folks to the show to listen to future episodes. We got a pretty full episode today, starting with Gilbert from God Save the Points, who's going to talk to us about how to find the best hotel rates. Jen is back for another It's a Big Deal segment to talk about how to earn points for bills that you might not be earning points on right now, and you might not know that you can earn points on. Finally, we've got Spencer back to talk about how to go around the world with one credit card sign-up bonus. I love this segment. We're going to start out with Spencer talking a little bit of news and notes, and then we're going to have him back near the end of the episode. Spencer is actually traveling at the moment, which is going to be perfect for our news and notes today. He's coming to us live from the American Express Centurion Lounge. How you doing, Spencer?
Doing well, Ed. Thanks for having me.
And, just a perfect transition into something that's been, percolating for the last few days. And now we seem to be getting more official-ish information that American Express is starting to restrict lounge access a bit more for their Centurion lounges. And it's a little bit all over the board, but it seems like the things that we quote-unquote know for the moment are that they are limiting your access to 2 hours prior to the scheduled departure time for your flight, and that if you've arrived at the airport, i.e. if you have just an inbound boarding pass, that you won't be allowed into the club. And I think the interesting thing about this is it sounds like that's not what happened to you when you showed up at the club today.
Yeah, I was I guess I'd seen the Seattle club and someone at the Miami club had experienced this. So I just kind of I have a 4 hour layover today, so I was kind of expecting it in Philadelphia's airport, but there wasn't even a question when I got here. So I don't know if they're just testing it at other locations, or maybe this is not as busy as the other locations, so they're just trying to, I guess, figure out a way to reduce the crowding.
Yeah, my general experience is that the Philadelphia Lounge is not as busy as some of the others. I typically see a line at the Las Vegas Centurion Lounge when I either stop by on my way out for a flight or if I'm just walking by. And I don't know that I can recall seeing a line at Philadelphia. How full is the club while you're there today?
It's busy, but it's not packed. I think plenty more people could come in and sit down. And I think my experience is similar to yours. I couldn't find a seat when I was at the one in Vegas. The Seattle one was packed, and it was before a pretty early morning flight. So it's just kind of that's just what you deal with. And even San Francisco's was quite crowded when I was there. So I guess this is just a problem they're having in a number of clubs, but this one's not too bad.
Yeah, and I get it. They obviously want to have a positive lounge experience, and the lounges, by and large, are not huge in terms of square footage. I just wonder how many folks are signing up for this card now, because the American Express is definitely positioning the Platinum card to get more signups, and they're obviously talking up the lounge game. And I just wonder how many folks signed up, putting a decent amount of value on being able to use the lounges, and how much this impacts their ability to pay the annual fee, in subsequent years if they're not able to use it quite as often as they used to, because it's not the first set of changes. They limited it to 2 guests. What was that, late last year?
Yeah, just recently it was 2 guests, and previously there, I guess they hadn't had that limit, and they also, I guess, restricted being able to buy a day pass to only Platinum card holders for extra guests. And it's, I understand it has to be frustrating for, families like yours.
Who
have more than 2 people. But I see what they're trying to do. I think this kind of two hours before departure bit could get interesting, considering if it's 2 hours before departure, like you have to leave the lounge before that 2 hours is up, because you have to get to the gate. So it really kind of, depending on where your gate is, it could be a, 30, you might have to leave 30 minutes early, 45 minutes early. And I think, like, for me right now, I have a 4-hour layover. So are they going to enforce that on connections? Because sometimes that's just how it goes.
Right.
So that, I think that's my biggest concern. I think if anything, I would like to see it at 3 hours and the restriction only apply to those who are not connecting.
Yeah, and I get it from the business side, too. I get that they don't want the lounges overrun. I'm less concerned about some of the comments that come up about their concern about the food budget, because ultimately, you know, you can do the math on how many Platinum card holders there are and how many, you know, Centurion card holders there are and figure out how many you think are going to show up. You know, but on the flip side of, you know, wanting to be able to offer the product to everyone and there being a line, I get that there's a balance. I'll be interested to see where this ends up. And, you know, if anybody's listening and concerned about whether or not they're going to renew, we'd love to hear from you. You know, does this impact your desire to pay the annual fee in subsequent years? How much restriction would there need to be on the lounge access to cause you to want to drop the card? And have we reached that already? You know, as you mentioned, Spencer, I have a family of four. I have two kids. If I couldn't bring my kids in when I traveled, is that enough for me to want to cancel the card? I think it's a great question for family travelers.
Absolutely. And I think it's I guess authorized users have had access in the past. I kind of wonder if that's going to stick around.
Right.
But I do understand the desire to kind of make sure it's a good experience. So I guess none of it's that surprising. I imagine there's plenty of work travelers who are disappointed who might want to, you know, grab a quick shower upon arrival, even if they don't have a connection.
Sure.
Before going to a meeting. I'm fortunate that I don't, you know, working remotely, I don't have to show up at an office for meetings, so that doesn't affect me too much. But I imagine there'll be plenty of business travelers, especially those who have the personal platinum, since it's gone up to the annual fee is now, what, $550, while the business platinum is still $450. I mean, that's $550. That's a hefty annual fee.
It's a lot of money. It'll definitely be interesting to see how everything shakes out. So next up, we've got Gilbert talking to us about how to find the best hotel rates. Spencer is going to stick around for a bit. And like I said, super fun segment, how to go around the world with one credit card sign up bonus. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Stay tuned.
If you're listening to this podcast, you know the places miles and points can take you. Maybe you've been saving up those miles and points to plan that special once-in-a-lifetime trip, but you can't find what you're looking for. The experts at BookYourReward.com have redeemed over 3 billion miles. That's billion, with a B. You won't find anyone with more experience to book your dream vacation. BookYourReward.com will provide you with concierge booking services to get you where you want to go, how you want to get there, and using the rewards program of your choice. All for a lot less than the cost of a domestic coach airline ticket. For listeners of the Miles to Go podcast, we got a special limited time offer for the month of May. Receive a $25 Amazon gift card with your first paid booking at BookYourReward.com. Drop us a line at milestogopodcast@gmail.com with your itinerary for more details.
And we're back on the Miles to Go podcast. Today I've got Gilbert with me from God Save the Points. This is my first time having him on the Miles to Go podcast, but Gilbert and I did just record an episode for the Now Boarding podcast, which hasn't launched yet, but will be launching soon as the official boarding area podcast. He and I are both hanging out in Vegas at Zorkfest. And what have you been doing so far this morning?
Well, I just did a speech, which was a lot of fun. Talked about upgrades and all the things that people would love to get but never do.
Yeah.
but it was great. I've been having a nice weekend, and I loved our podcast earlier this week. So
I did too, especially the dinner. So we're going to talk hotel rates, and while this is a subject that we could peel back layers of the onion on for years, we're going to touch briefly on a few of the different categories that you've outlined recently in terms of finding the best hotel prices. And let's start with, you know, publicly available rates.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the interesting distinction is what's public and what's private. So public is the rate that any company is allowed to show online based on the lowest published rate. And that's pretty obvious, and that's what most people see. I think what they don't realize is that it's easier than ever to unlock private rates, which generally do offer savings versus the public rate.
Do you have a place that you normally like to go for public rates? Is it normally to the hotel's website directly? Is there an aggregator that you like specifically?
Yeah, I think people miss out on the small stuff, you know. So yeah, when you go direct to the hotel, just joining their loyalty program is often 10% savings or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I just can't imagine that millions of people every year go to these websites don't enter their email address and lose 10%.
I agree. There's so many member rates out there now.
Yeah, member rates are great. And then just by entering your email address on some of these other sites, like I'm a big fan of Voyage Privé. It's like a French site, Club One Hotels, and then, you know, Hotels.com, Expedia, all these. There's a bunch more, of course. But, you know, I find that just by joining as a member, you know, for free, so you lose nothing other than perhaps a couple emails in your inbox, you're all of a sudden unlocking these things that they can't publicly show, because we're now getting into the category of private deals.
Yeah, and this is the rabbit hole. You know, there's so many different sites. I can't say that there's specifically one that's best. You've mentioned a couple, though. So what are some of your go-to sites for what we'll call private rates, which are things that they can't necessarily publish everywhere, that you need to sort of see behind either a membership wall or part of a club or things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most basic ones is just Expedia. You know, as soon as you sign into the Expedia rewards, they can show you a completely different price. And like we said before, the difference is, for anyone that doesn't know, is that there's a minimum number that you can post publicly, and then there's a completely different number which they're really willing to sell the room for if it's just not publicly available.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's tough with these rates is that you often can't price match a private rate, whereas you can a public rate. But I find they do a lot of good.
Yeah, I find they do too. I think the, you know, probably the biggest quote unquote drawback for me is that a lot of the rates that you'll find in those channels are not eligible for elite benefits. And I tend to be not prescribing this for everyone, but I tend to be a guy who likes my elite benefits. So I sort of have to weigh that on stays of how much am I saving versus the benefits, which in a lot of cases, I think the savings outweigh what I would get in direct translated, you know, benefit dollars. So like what a breakfast actually costs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of going out and finding a good cup of coffee in any place. So I love a hotel breakfast, but I'm, you know, to counterpoint, I'm not someone who has top tier elite status with many hotels. And
sure.
So for me, I'm actually much more interested in the savings, especially if I'm doing really well with miles on flights and such. You know, the more I can do to save every night, the better. And so I'd rather go out and buy a nice coffee for $5 than, you know, and save $50 on the reservation than just get my free breakfast, which is technically $45 breakfast, maybe.
Yeah, where I run into trouble, and again, this goes back to what your travel patterns are, is for me, having that top tier status is not necessarily about, you know, getting the best suite when I'm in Denver for 3 days on a business trip. For me, it's when I travel with my family. We, as you can imagine, my wife and two kids don't all live in one room and share one bathroom. And so when we travel, I want to have space if we're going to be somewhere for a week. So where I battle, I'll use Club One Hotels as a company that I've certainly used for cheap rates over over the years. But I also need to make sure I get enough stays that requalify me for, say, top tier Hyatt status, because that gives me 4 upgrades a year that I can guarantee a suite ahead of time. So instead of having to burn more money or points, and that's a tough balance, because I think that there, I mean, some of the rates I see on a site like Club One, I can, it's not about saving $10 or $20 a night. Sometimes I can save $200 or $300
a
night.
Yeah, and sometimes they're guaranteeing whatever the lowest price is, they'll do an extra $25.
Yeah.
You know, so they're, the spread can be pretty huge if you're,
yes,
if you're looking. But I agree. I use Langham for whatever reason as my loyalty program, and if I do a certain number of stays, I love my suite benefits. And
right.
So if that's attainable for you, obviously that's, you know, I think that's where the balance and the, there is no right answer for everyone, one size fits all kind of thing. That's where that comes into play. But if you're not a frequent guest, I'll always take the money. If you are a frequent guest, do the math for the year.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing to take away from this bullet point in our brief time to talk about this, because gosh knows we could talk about it for hours, I think the bullet point is make sure you're making the right decision for what fits for you. And you need to have all the information to do that. Even if you're not going to end up booking on, you know, Club One or you know, Hotels.com or something like that, knowing what the full list of rates is out there, knowing what you're quote-unquote trading off. I'm trading off a $50 savings because I want this at the end of the year. It's being honest with yourself to make sure that if you are trading off and not taking the cheapest rate, that you're actually getting that benefit. If I trade off because I want to have free breakfast and I'm in Paris and we go out 2 of the 3 days I'm there because we want to try local restaurants, I didn't really get the value for my free breakfast benefit.
Yeah, And one side thing that just made me think of it is I love playing around with the different versions of the sites, you know, like Expedia.com yep. versus Co.uk.
Yeah.
I've found additional savings if I'm trying to book a, let's say, a European hotel from America, actually, versus booking one within Europe. For some reason, the prices can be very different. And if you have a no foreign transaction fee credit card, you don't really care what currency you pay in. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I certainly see more of that today. I see that with airlines, too, sometimes, where we'll see fares pop up if you're buying in a different currency, that there'll be a huge swing in the price. And I think it's certainly worth fiddling around with it. You know, I also think in terms of the grand scheme of things, when you're trying to put all these pieces together and figure out, you know, where the best rate is, I think one thing that folks overlook as well is if you do find a rate somewhere else, you know, whether it's, you know, hotels.com or Expedia or places like that, and you really do want your loyalty benefits and you're not traveling on Christmas Eve to Disney World or, you know, peak spring break week for a spring break destination, it's still worth calling the hotel and saying, hey, I happen to be I'm a top tier Hyatt member and I saw this rate that was $20 cheaper on such and such a site. Would you guys honor it if I booked directly?
That's a great advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. You know, you're never going to get 100%, but I've seen it work for me, you know, enough times that it's worth the phone call for me.
And there's a guy I know, actually, who's doing something pretty cool. His name's Josh Browder. He's like some PhD mathematician wizard, and he has something called Do Not Pay. And what the it's essentially a service that automatically looks for lower rates and rebooks you, finds loopholes to rebook you, even if it's a non-refundable rate or something like that.
So kind of like the auto slash for hotel rates.
Yeah, and for flights too.
Oh, really? For flights too, cool.
Yeah, so I think he's pissing off a lot of airlines and hotels.
But. Probably. And to be clear, Gilbert and I, neither of us is a PhD. I think we can safely say that. So let's wrap up with best rate guarantees and how you feel that fits into the picture.
Yeah, so I think it's an important thing to keep track of. I think the general wisdom these days is it's really hard to actually take advantage of a best rate guarantee.
Yeah.
With these private rates, you know, even if you find a lower rate, they'll say, well, it wasn't publicly available, even though you only just gave an email address. So it's hardly, you know, trapped somewhere in some special labyrinth. But, you know, they still won't honor it, which I find frustrating. But I think it's a good thing to seek, like you said, even if they maybe give you a pass the first time, it's absolutely worth getting in touch with the property or with the chain and pleading your case. Hey, look, I'm a loyal customer. I stay here. I'm going to stay here. You know, do the right thing here. You're offering this rate. I don't see why I should, you know, have to, you know, forgo a good price. Just, you know, so I think that's my take on it. I do love apps, like I said, like Do Not Pay and Pruvo. They kind of work in this space to try to do those things automatically for you, or at least present rebooking opportunities for you at lower, you know, at lower prices. But
yeah,
I'd save my time.
Yeah, and for folks who are listening along, we're going to make sure we link to a post that Gilbert has that has all the links to the various apps and websites we've talked about. So don't worry about writing all this stuff down. Definitely capture it in your mind, and we'll make sure you've got the information in the show notes. But I think the takeaway here is it's not as simple as you think to find the lowest price for a hotel, but there's plenty of savings if you're willing to put in a little bit of time.
Yeah, and while I completely agree, it's not the easiest thing. Some of the simplest mechanisms can do a whole lot of good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think any extra work you do in this arena will pay off in what you're paying for hotels over the long run.
Yeah. I mean, how long does it take to type in an email address?
Right.
If that saves you $25 instantly,
yep.
I think that's a pretty good win.
I would agree. So before we run away, tell folks where they can find you when you're not hanging out with me at Zorkfest.
Well, I would much rather always be with Ed at Zorkfest, but in my off time, you can find me at godsavethepoints.com. It's a travel blog, lots of deals, inspiration, tips, where to eat, all that kind of stuff, and I hope you enjoy it.
And I'll also add, you can find him being sarcastic on Twitter at
godsavethepoints. Yes, I have a very foul mouth, so if you don't like expletives, you might look elsewhere.
That's great. Thanks for being on the podcast, Gilbert. I can't wait to have you back on.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Welcome back to the Miles to Go podcast. It's time for our It's a Big Deal segment this week. We've got Jen Steckloff back with us from Deals We Like, and we're going to be talking about plastic today. No, not plastic like Tupperware containers. Plastic with a Q at the end. I don't have a lot of experience with it just yet, though I've done a bunch of reading. Jen certainly has more, and she has a couple of deals that might be interesting to you. How you doing, Jen?
I'm doing well, being sad. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I've heard about plastic off and on for, you know, probably over a year now. Have not taken the plunge. being perfectly honest. But you pointed out a couple of deals that, that could make sense for folks. But I guess let's lay down the basics first of, you know, the high-level version, the nickel version of what plastic is.
Sure. So essentially, it's just a bill payment site where you can go ahead, pay a bill to, you know, any merchant, whether or not they take credit card or not. They just cut a check. And you can actually use your credit card. So it's really beneficial to you when you can use your credit card, even though the merchant on its end wouldn't typically accept the credit cards because, you know, they're just getting a check at the end of the day. So they really don't care. But typically you're charged with a 2.5% fee from plastic. So there is definitely a fee associated with this. So it's not free, and you don't want to just willy-nilly go ahead and pay bills. You want to do it when it makes sense for you. But there's definitely some times when it could make sense.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is where your recent post was interesting in that it keys in on two scenarios that I think at least one of these should hit the vast majority of folks. So the first is right now with plastic, it seems like folks who hold the Chase Inc. preferred card are seeing they're getting 3 points per dollar via plastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't a promotion per se. It's just how Chase is coding these this plastic as a merchant in their system. So for whatever reason, plastic is being coded as 3x points. So typically with the Chase Inc. preferred card on your, you know, everyday purchases, you usually earn 1x points. Of course, there are some category bonuses, but for some reason, this is being joined in with those category bonuses and you'll earn 3x points. So, you know, even if you were to go ahead and cash out your points for cash, which I probably wouldn't recommend, but let's just do it on an even playing field here. You're coming out ahead because you're kind of getting 3% cash back and only paying a 2.5% fee. So you're really coming out ahead a 0.5%, which is good. I mean, you know, it might only be a little bit of money here and there, but if you have big bills to pay, that can definitely add up. And if you use your points, you know, by transferring to partner loyalty programs or other methods, sometimes you can earn two cents per dollar, or even more, really putting you way ahead there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And for me, one of the most frequent transfer partners for me for my Chase Ultimate Rewards points, whether they come from my Ink or my Sapphire card, is United. And, you know, I generally value those points at, you know, somewhere close to 2 cents. I don't sit there and try and split hairs with, you know, 1.7, 1.8, stuff like that. But, you know, they're generally worth about 2 cents to me. And so here, if you're earning triple points, well, gosh, I mean, it's going to be hard not to get more than, quote unquote, 2.5% value when you come up with a fee, because I could see getting, you know, 5 or 6% back. And I think that you could say that's the case with British Airways, you know, probably not Marriott as a transfer partner, definitely Hyatt. You know, I haven't really considered, I definitely wouldn't go ISG. I haven't really considered Southwest, especially with their recent changes. So I don't know if that would be a good value, but I think there's enough value here that if you can charge on a Chase Inc. preferred, 3X is going to bring you out ahead of the game.
Absolutely. And I mean, I love using this. I pay my daughter's preschool bills, which are unfortunately quite high. I use that. We've paid, you know, some contractors and some other folks. I used to use it to pay my mortgage. That was, you know, a while ago. And unfortunately now Visa, which Chase Inc. Preferred is a Visa credit card. Visa does not allow you to pay rent and more on your mortgage through this payment system. So that was also very high monthly payment, and that generated a ton of points, but that is no longer allowed. So that is unfortunate. But the next promotion, which actually is technically a promotion, not just a loophole, will allow you to pay your mortgage or rent, depending on, you know, if you rent or own. So that's one good one to take advantage of, which I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, definitely taking advantage of the Chase Inc. preferred. That will get you an awesome value. Pay variety of things. You cannot pay your friends and family members, so don't try it. They'll actually come back to you and ask for you to send them like a physical bill. So even to pay my accountant a few months ago, I had to send them a bill. You can just take a screenshot, send it away. It's easy, but you're not really going to be getting away with friends and family transactions.
Yeah. Well, that's a good transition to the second one, which I would think almost everybody
who has a credit card in their wallet as a reasonable shot of having a MasterCard. So mm-hmm. walk folks through the MasterCard promo that's going on right now.
Yeah, so this promotion kind of was announced a few weeks ago, and ultimately all you have to do is use your MasterCard and use the MasterPass payment option. So when you go through Plastiq and you go to process your payment, it will be a payment option called MasterPass. You've probably used it before and, you know, taken advantage of some other promotions. Click on MasterPass, enter your credit card, MasterCard information, and ultimately you'll see that that 2.5% fee is taken off. The only caveat to this promotion is that it's capped. So only payments that are up to $500 will have that fee-free option, and that is through the end of this month, May 31st. Starting June 1st, the promotion changed a little bit, and that cap will actually be $250. So ultimately, you want to try to get...
Yeah, still, this still isn't bad, though. I mean,
Not at all.
You can't pay bigger payments, but I mean, if you've got a handful of smaller payments.
Yeah, especially because there's no cap to the number of payments you can make. So while it's a capped on the dollar amount, you can go ahead and take advantage of this promotion multiple times. So let's say you have to go ahead and pay a contractor, as long as they don't mind, make multiple payments of, you know, $500 or $250, and they'll just receive multiple checks. Shouldn't be a big deal. And then the entire payment will be fee-free, especially for someone who wouldn't accept your credit card to begin with. This is a great way to earn your points and miles.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be surprised if this one sticks around past the end of September when it expires. I assume they're just trying to get people to...
Right, so when it came out, it was $500, and I think it was so popular, it went down to $250, and this definitely won't last that much longer. So definitely get your payments in now. But the one thing is, actually, if you schedule your payments, even if you go ahead and schedule payments throughout the summer or into the fall, prior to this promotion, I mean, they're still honoring that $500 cap that they initially came out with. So they seem to be kind of making good on their promotion, even though they're changing it a little bit.
Interesting. I wonder if you had payments scheduled even when in June when the payment level drops, if payments scheduled.
They say yes, but let's see how it works in practice. But they say yes. And, you know, I actually have already scheduled a few payments. So this one you can pay your mortgage or your rent.
Right.
So that's one good thing. So MasterCard does allow it. So I've already made a few payments to my personal mortgage company of $500 and using my JetBlue credit card. So this was a great way to just earn some JetBlue points.
Awesome. Well, great.
Absolutely.
Well, Jen, thanks for keying people in on two ways to use Plastiq to earn points that they might not be using right now. Where can folks find you when you're not hopping on the podcast with me?
Absolutely. You can find me at dealswelike@gmail.com. You can get in touch with me there via email or visit my blog always at dealswelike.com and Twitter @dealswelike, Facebook. I don't even know what these hashtags are anymore, but anything @dealswelike, you can go ahead and find me. So definitely reach out.
Thanks, Jen. We'll have you back on again soon.
Thank you, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
This episode of Miles to Go is sponsored by Gogo InFlight Internet. Gogo brings the internet to the sky, so planes fly smarter, airlines perform better, and passengers travel happier. Their new blazing fast 2KU antenna delivers industry-leading speeds, up to 15 megabits per passenger device, and is currently available on over 400 planes flying in over 65 countries worldwide. Get Gogo, travel happier.
Okay, we're back on the Miles to Go podcast. And, you know, I preach to folks all the time about how credit cards can be a great way to travel the world. And some people look at me pretty suspiciously. They believe that you're going to get these points and you won't be able to redeem with them. And I get that. But, you know, I've got plenty of travel to prove that. And I'm not the only one out there. So, you know, I saw a post earlier that I thought would be perfect for a podcast segment because it really illustrates that if you're willing to put in a little bit of time and energy, you can do just about anything with points. And the gist of it is that a friend of mine, Spencer, who's been on the podcast before, took the sign-up bonus from one credit card and used it to plan a theoretical trip around the world. Now, this was in economy class, and it's not a trip that I would take because I think I'd be dead by the time I got done with it. And I don't want Spencer to take it because I'm pretty sure, even though he's younger than me, he'd be pretty sore by the time it was done. But it was a great exercise just to illustrate how far you can stretch those points. And so I'm excited to have Spencer back on the podcast. He writes on his own site, straighttothepoints.co, and also on 1 Mile at a Time as a contributor. He's been on with us a couple times to talk credit cards in Hawaii in the past, and now he's going to hop on to talk about a sign-up bonus that can get you around the world. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, I love that you tried to break this down this way and that you're able to piece it all together. You know, give folks a little bit of a taste. First, let's talk about the credit card bonus, and then let's talk a little bit about the sort of trip that you had planned.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, the Business Platinum card from American Express has a 100,000 point signup bonus. It's actually two-tiered. It's broken up. So if you spend 10,000 in the first 3 months, you get 50,000 membership award points. And if you spend an additional 15,000 in that same three-month period, you get an additional 50,000 membership award points. Usually, the standard bonus is generally like 75,000. So this is a nice little bump for business owners who put a decent amount of spend on their cards. So this is a really exciting opportunity because at minimum, you're going to come out with 125,000 membership awards if you hit that minimum spend.
Yeah, and just to be clear for folks, you know, Spencer and I were talking about this before we hopped on board. This is a legitimate business credit card, and you're going to need to have some legitimate business spend. So this might not be for everyone, but it is a good illustration of what the points can do. So if we think about it in terms of you've got 100,000 point sign-up bonus, which you would obviously have to spend a bunch. I think the minimum spend on the offer is 25 grand. You know, you can use it for a bunch of things, but let's dig into a bit how you managed to use these to book the theoretical trip around the world, if you will.
Absolutely. So I basically took the 125,000 membership reward points and then decided to start an itinerary from the West Coast out of San Francisco and wanted to see pretty much how many stops I could get along the way flying around the world within that 125,000 points. So first off, we're going to, I have us flying from San Francisco to, Tel Aviv in Israel. That is as of June 1st on Flying Blue's new kind of award chart will be 29,000 miles, in economy. If you fly through, Amsterdam on KLM, that will cost you about $96, in taxes and fees. And then from there, after you visited Israel, you can cross the border. I will not get into all the details of how one crosses into Jordan. Like there, that is not a miles and points thing, but there are ways to take a bus or have some, you know, get a rental car and stop at the border and get a different rental car. That's not my expertise. But then to get over into Jordan, you can go explore Amman and Petra, even go down to the Dead Sea. But then from Amman to Prague, if you connect in London, you can do that trip one way for 14,000 avios and do a stopover in London. And I think it's important to remember when you are in these places, like, you know, London is very close to, you know, Brussels and Paris and whatever. You can take – there's a lot of low-cost carriers that can kind of expand this trip even further. So I was just keeping it simple. Amman to Prague via London, 14,000 avios, $170 taxes and fees. And then after you are done exploring the Czech Republic, probably my favorite redemption out of this is 12,805 Etihad guest miles to fly from Prague to Seoul, South Korea. That's a almost 10-hour flight for about $155 in taxes and fees and just a killer redemption at less than 13,000 miles.
Yeah.
That one you do have to call in, but you can easily find space by using Air France's website. Once you're in Seoul, you can then use Avios again to fly to Bangkok, but via Hong Kong, so you can get another stopover while flying Cathay Pacific. Both Bangkok and Hong Kong, if you haven't been, are amazing food cities. So if you like to eat,
absolutely,
you know, go hungry. I actually just got back from Hong Kong. I mean, cheap Michelin star meals. That's all I can say. then from Bangkok, you can use the flights down to Bangkok would be 17,500 avios, including the stopover. But from Bangkok, we're going to fly to Los Angeles, except we're going to use 38,000 Singapore KrisFlyer miles and stop in Singapore and Tokyo along the way. Again, more fun food in Singapore and Tokyo. And again, like, you can stop and stay as long as you want on these. You can bum around all over Japan if you want. But those are two great places to stop. The taxes on Singapore Airlines own flights or on this is going to be about $63. And then each stopover will be about $100 each. So not a bad deal considering you get two stopovers. To finish it off, though, after visiting Los Angeles, you can head up to San Francisco where you started for 5,500 Delta Sky miles. Real simple to book online. And that brings you to a total of, I think about 28,000 flight miles for the cost of 116,805 membership reward points and about $780 in taxes and fees, which, you know, gets you 10 stops around the world. And you still have about 8,000 membership rewards points to use somehow. So it's a... I mean, you can do some really crazy things and keep this – I mean, you could keep this trip under, you know, $1,200 for flights by using low-cost carriers to even see even more places. So it's – I think it's a lot of fun. I don't know if somebody wants to spend months doing this on their own, but it's – for those who just want to get out there and see everything, I think it's a fun way to kind of think about your points.
It is. And just to put a button on that for everyone, we're talking about signing up for a credit card, the business credit card, business platinum card from American Express, and hitting the spend and then using that those pool of points to book a bunch of different one-way awards on a bunch of different airlines for roughly $1,000. So, you know, Spencer's got this worked out for a little bit less, but as much as you wanted to put into this, you could. And for a little bit more here and there, you could certainly expand the number of cities. And I think one of the key points that Spencer makes here, which is, you know, probably one of the best things about these flexible currencies, is because these are all with different airlines, you're not tied down to one city. You can certainly spend more time in certain places because these are one-way tickets, not round-trip tickets. And so while this might sound like an impossible itinerary for you because you don't want to do all of these things, it's a great example of how you can apply these points in small chunks to get from and to different places all over the world. And I think that's the key message here is how far Spencer was able to stretch just this one credit card bonus. And certainly, you know, Spencer, as you've also talked about, you can redeem these for business class. You know, there are some great examples that you've given on that. You're certainly going to get less total distance. But if business class is your thing, then you give the folks a couple of examples of ways that you could use this in business class, use this bonus for a business class award.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually just a little bit ago posted basically how to do that exact thing is use these 125,000 points for premium cabin redemptions. For the sticking with the around the world theme, the ANA, Al Nippon Airways Round the World award chart, if you fly between 20,001 miles and 22,000 miles, you can book 8 stopovers along the way for 125,000 ANA miles, which, I mean, right there, that's your sign-up bonus plus minimum spend. And you can go around the world and see 8 cities in business class flying some really nice products. And then obviously for those who are, you know, not looking to do the kind of crazy around the world stuff, though I wouldn't rule it out. It doesn't take as much time as you think. I think one of my favorites, especially for those of us in cities where ANA operates, you can fly round trip first class to Tokyo for 120,000 Virgin Atlantic Flying Club miles. If you're on the East Coast, that is East and Central part of the U.S. On the West Coast, it's only 110,000. So that's just that's first class round trip.
Yeah, those are all great examples of how you can really stretch out these points with these flexible currencies. And the goal here is to make sure that you're picking the right card, that you can hit the minimum spend. But the nice thing here is that there's no specific binary choices. If you wanted to use a chunk of these miles for a business class one-way ticket and use some of the others for one-way flights to get you to different places along the way, that's all doable. I think the big point, the big takeaway here is, these sign-up bonuses are very lucrative. You want to be conservative. You want to make sure you can pay your credit card balance off at the end of every month. You don't want to get yourself in debt over this. But if you've got good financial control and you got good credit scores, these sign-up bonuses are a great way to travel the world. You don't need to be a business traveler logging hundreds of thousands of miles in the air to travel, a very comfortable, leisurely life. And I think the couple of posts that Spencer's got up that we'll link to in the show notes do a great job illustrating that. And I really appreciate you coming back on and sharing those examples with us for all the folks listening. Thanks, Spencer.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Ed. Thanks again.
Before we run away, why don't you tell folks where they can find you when you're not planning 20,000-mile round trips around the world?
You can find me on my own site, straighttothepoints.co, or writing mostly at One Mile at a Time, another boarding area site. And if you want, you can bug me on Twitter at Spencer for Miles.
You'll occasionally see him replying sarcastically to my tweets online, and I'll just say that he lost the M on the domain, so he only gets .co, not .com. Spencer, thanks again for being on, and we'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
And we're back with the final two pennies for this week's episode. This week, we're focusing on trying not to overthink things. I always tell folks when they're getting started into the miles and points games that they should have one clear goal, maybe two. But, signing up for 10 or 15 credit cards because they all sound like they're good offers and trying to figure out where the best place to earn is really complicated. And so setting up simple goals that you can achieve is great. Taking that a step further, if you're not a novice, if you will, and you've been in the hobby for a little while, just keep in mind, if you've got, if you're trying to maximize every single possible earning opportunity, you've got a little bit of points here and a little bit of points there, but you've never been able to get to a redemption, you're missing some of the point here. The miles and points don't generally become more valuable over time. And while there can be reasons to hold on to those points for aspirational trips or just in case sort of trips, you really do want to be burning those points that you're earning. So try to make sure that you've got a goal and also that you've got one or two programs where you're earning the most of your points in towards some sort of a goal, whether that's a business class ticket to Europe for your family or something simple like a hotel reservation for a drive down to the Jersey Shore. It's important to make sure that you get something out of these points, and you definitely don't want the programs to move the goalposts while you're in the process of saving those points up little by little. So we want to try and find ways to use them where we can. We don't want to waste them, but we don't want to be collecting 20 or 30 different types of miles and points and never getting to the point where we can redeem something. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, especially our Around the World with Spencer on one credit card bonus. If you like the show, I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. I also hope that you'll rate the podcast. Those ratings help move our podcast up the list so more people see it, especially if you think we're doing a great job and give us a 5-star rating. If you have questions, you can hit us up on social media or you can email me at ed@pizzainmotion.com. Lastly, I'd like to thank our sponsors, BookYourAward.com and GoGo, for helping put the podcast on the air. Until next week, we've got lots more to cover. We've got miles to go.